Prabhupada for some time as his personal servant, and I knew right away what I wanted to speak about, today being Guru Purnima. I was fortunate to be with Srila Prabhupada in 1975 when Prabhupada was here in Mayapur for Guru Purnima in March, and is what I wanted to try to do, although it's not so possible to do, but I'm going to try anyway to give just a little bit of an idea of being with Prabhupada and some of the things that Srila Prabhupada was seeing. Not that I know how he was seeing them, but what he was seeing. Because is what he did was he traveled around the world in 2 months at that time. He left Juhu, Bombay, which was a very pet project of Srila Prabhupada that he worked so hard to develop. It's a very wonderful project in Bombay. And he left there June 24th. And he was back in Mayapur in less than 2 months. In 2 months, Prabhupada traveled around the world, and he went to approximately 14 temples in that time. Now, what for me was significant was seeing Srila Prabhupada go from one temple to the next, knowing that he was going to be in Mayapur for Guru Purnima. Yeah. And seeing so many things. Is what had happened was he left Bombay and he flew into Japan where he stayed a few days. And then he went to the Hawaii temple, Nunavadweep. Hawaii temple was the very first temple in the West Prabhupada named Nunavadweep. They were the first temple to have Panchatattva deities outside of India. So this place is still there. Panchatattva is still there. Prabhupada's quarters are there. So he spent time there. Prabhupada said it was one of his favorite places. He described two favorite places. Sometimes he described other favorite places. But he said he liked Juhu and Hawaii very much because they had coconut trees, just like here. So Prabhupada was very fond of Dab. He would say, Dab, give me Dab. So after going to Hawaii and then Los Angeles, he started a very amazing tour. And this tour began to take him through Mexico and South America, and then through North America. But what I saw that was very significant, and I hadn't seen it so much before, was Prabhupada's mood when he was in the temple room. Now you can try to imagine, this is not 2008, what year are we in, 2008? This was 1975. Prabhupada had spent 10 years spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. Previous to that, there was no chanting of Hare Krishna anywhere outside of India. There was no understanding about Lord Chaitanya, Panchatattva, Krishna, all these things didn't exist. He spent 10 years planting this seed of Krishna consciousness everywhere in the world. And now we maybe take these things for granted. It's so easy, it's so nice. Everywhere you go, you can see Krishna devotees, you can see the form of the Lord. But in 1975, by this time, there were over 100 temples all around the world. And Prabhupada was visiting these temples, some of them for the first time. And when he went to Mexico City, there were hundreds of devotees chanting. When Prabhupada was giving class, crowd was like this. There were hundreds of people chanting Hare Krishna in Mexico. And I felt very strongly Now, Prabhupada was becoming overwhelmed every time he saw Lord Chaitanya's mercy prevalent. He could see it in the numbers of people chanting. And in each temple, he would sit down on the Vyasasan and he would look onto the altar. And there on the altar was Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda standing there smiling and just distributing love of Godhead everywhere. This was Prabhupada's success. And Prabhupada would sometimes become overwhelmed in ecstatic feelings, seeing devotees in the Western world, the land of so many maleches. And there I remember one day, one lady, elderly lady, she asked, spoke in Spanish. So she asked, at the end there were questions and answers. So she spoke and Hridayananda Maharaj translated. And she said, because Prabhupada was speaking how important it is at the time of death to remember Krishna. So she said, Srila Prabhupada, what if at the time of death we remember you? So Maharaji translated and Prabhupada, he just smiled a little and he said, that's all right. So when I heard that, I was very, very happy. To this day, it makes me very, very happy to know we just remember Srila Prabhupada even, huh? Even if we can be so lucky to be serving Srila Prabhupada to the time of our last breath, that we can remember him. That will be all right. We have Prabhupada's guarantee. So then he went from Mexico City and he went to Caracas, Venezuela. He had never been in Caracas, Venezuela. But his disciples were there. There were hundreds of them chanting Hare Krishna. 1975, huh? So many wonderful devotees were there. I had lived there for 6 months, just the year previous to that. So I knew many of the devotees and I was very happy to go back. But as soon as Prabhupada sat down, he looked onto the altar. And who was there? Gauranga Nityananda standing on the altar, just showering their blessings to everyone. And Prabhupada just looked at them. And already there were tears in his eyes. Because Prabhupada didn't think, I'm spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. That was not how he thought. He thought, Lord Chaitanya, he's so merciful. So he spoke like that. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they're so merciful that they've come here to distribute love of God. So as he went from place to place and he's approaching Mayapur, he was just so overwhelmed to see that Krishna consciousness was going all around the world. Of course, he was giving credit to his disciples. He was giving credit to his spiritual master, to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he was just a humble servant. But we knew, we could understand, it was Prabhupada that planted this seed. He watered this seed. And he cultivated all of these seeds all around the world. Huh? With his books, he continues to do that. So he was going to each place. When he was in Caracas, he was in the room one day with the devotees giving darshan. It was in the evening. And there were mosquitoes. Like in Mayapur, we have a few mosquitoes here. So there, they also had some mosquito, Prabhupada would call mosquito. And one of the devotees was looking and he's seeing mosquitoes are bothering him. But Prabhupada didn't seem to have any mosquitoes. And he said, Prabhupada, he said, the mosquitoes, they know you're a pure devotee and they're not biting you. And Prabhupada laughed. He said, yes. He said, here the mosquitoes, they have respect for me. But in Vrindavan, they have no such respect. Once in Vrindavan, he rang the bell. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. He was trying to translate. And he would never, ever ring the bell while I was taking rest. He would let me rest. But he rang the bell. And when I went into his room, he was sitting in the center of the room, just sitting there, chanting. And he was never sitting just on the floor. He was always behind his desk, translating, speaking, reading. And I came in and I, you know, offered obeisances. I was asleep. And I just looked up and he said, "The mosquito, it has dethroned me." But what he was bothered by was, he said, "It is preventing me from doing my translating work." So there was not that he was just sitting and mosquito was bothering, but it was preventing him from doing his service. So that's when we got the mosquito net first time. Prabhupada, just like here behind his seat, we had a big mosquito net around Prabhupada every night we would put around him. So when he would come in to translate, there was no disturbance. So from Caracas, Prabhupada continued on, and then he went to Miami Temple. And in Miami, he stayed for just one day and one night. And when he arrived, again, hundreds of American boys and girls just jumping up and down, chanting Hare Krishna. We're jumping up and down because Prabhupada's right in front of us, chanting, playing kartels, chanting, encouraging us. Sometimes Prabhupada would look and he'd go like this. And then that way, he would make you bounce up and down just by his head going like this, and then you would just jump up and down. So, and he would encourage that dancing, to see as a dance for Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So again, he looked on the altar, and Lord Chaitanya was there, and Lord Nityananda was there. And immediately, Prabhupada started speaking about how merciful, he said, is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He could see. How merciful was Srila Prabhupada to come to the West and give us this Hare Krishna mantra, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And as he was talking to the devotees, it was so personal, and he said, maybe in the future, he said, you will worship Radha Krishna. He said, but then, he said, you have to be very careful. He said, because with Radha Krishna worship, you cannot make any offenses. He said, Lord Chaitanya, he's very merciful. He will not even accept offenses. Imagine how merciful the Lord is, how the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't even accept your offenses. But he said, but Radha Krishna, you must be very careful. He said, but if you get Radha Krishna, or not, he said, that's okay. He said, because Radha Krishna is there within Lord Chaitanya. So then he went on and spoke some more. So then, it got sweeter. Each place he was going to, it just got more and more sweet. So then he went to Atlanta, Georgia, state of Georgia in the USA, Atlanta. In Atlanta, when Prabhupada arrived, it was a small temple room, and again, hundreds of devotees. And Prabhupada went and he sat down on the Vyasasana, and the devotees are just crying, laughing, dancing, jumping. And then Prabhupada began to speak, and it was not a big temple room, so Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda were not so far away. And when Prabhupada began to speak, he said, we've just come, and he described, he said, we were in Los Angeles, he said, and in Mexico City, he said, and in Caracas,
And he said, and then he looked at me, and I said, Miami. He said, yes, Miami. He said, and now we are here. So he was tracing everywhere he had been, seeing the devotees, the Vaishnavas he had created, everywhere in the world. And he said, your temple is the best. And all the devotees, they just went into ecstasy. And then he said, I'm going to read this. This was his lecture that day. It won't take long. So, Prabhupada was looking at the deities, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very kind. And he said, Parama Karuna Pahu Dvijana. Two lords, Nitai Gurchand, Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, as he was speaking, he was becoming choked up. He wasn't just speaking. Prabhupada was expressing his emotions about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He was completely overwhelmed, and his eyes were filled with tears. And then he said, they've appeared just to reclaim the fallen souls of this age. He said, so they are more kind than Krishna. He said, Krishna is also very kind. He comes to deliver us. But Krishna demands that first of all you surrender. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't even demand that you surrender. He's so kind. And he couldn't speak, but he continued. He said, so you take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and be happy. And he said, thank you very much. And at that time, he just closed his eyes. And as he closed his eyes, tears, they just shot out of his eyes. I was sitting right here, and devotees were everywhere. And Prabhupada just, it was the most amazing of all the times I was with Prabhupada. It was the most amazing thing. So he just shut his eyes, and the room was completely quiet. Prabhupada didn't move. No one moved. I don't even think anyone was breathing, because we didn't want to make one sound, because we could understand. Prabhupada was just in complete ecstasy. And some minutes went by, and then finally Prabhupada just lifted his head and he said, chant Hare Krishna. So then the devotees, they began chanting. And then Prabhupada gradually began playing the kartals. So many wonderful things happened there. We don't have time, I just have short time to speak. But one thing I have to tell you that happened there. And as I said, Prabhupada was something I had not experienced so much before. He just had this ecstasy that it just began escaping from him. He was always in control of that. But it was just happening. So every night I would massage Prabhupada in his room there. 3 days he stayed there, and his quarters are still there just as when he stayed there. So as Prabhupada was laying down in bed, and he had his head up a little bit on the pillow, and I was rubbing his legs and rubbing his feet. So massage was going on for 10 or 15 minutes. And this was Prabhupada's massage in the evening was the most intimate, personal time to be with Prabhupada. The lights were out, the room was dark, there would be some light from wherever, and no one ever entered Prabhupada's room while he received his evening massage. No one ever came into Prabhupada's quarters, so it was just him and his servant. So as I was massaging, Prabhupada, just all of a sudden he said, I like the Cowherd Boys very much. And because when he would speak in the evening, It was nothing but nectar. It was nectar. So I just continued, never stopped massaging. And he was looking at this picture, big painting on the wall. It was at the foot of his bed on that wall. And he was just looking into it. So I looked and I realized he was looking. And this picture was Krishna and Balaram. And they're just young boys, 8 years old. And with them there were thousands of cowherd boys and calves. And they were just in the forest of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada was looking at that. So I'm massaging. So then he said, every day, Krishna and Balaram, they would go into the forest in Vrindavan. And he said, before they would go, their mothers would make lunches, prepare tiffins for them. I'm just shaking my head. And Prabhupada's speaking very softly. Prabhupada's there. He's right there inside that scene. And he's speaking about it. That's when Prabhupada talked. He would just bring you. He would transport you right there. So he said, Krishna, Mother Yasoda, she would make very nice tiffin. And in it there would be puri, halava, kachori, ladu. And he said, and the other cowherd boys, their mothers, they were not so opulent. So their tiffins would have chapatis, rice, sabji, like that. And then he said, and then they would go, and they would play all day. He said, and they didn't have the cows, because he said, they're just little boys. So they would herd the calves. He said, the calves were with them. And then finally they would stop for lunch. He said, and sometimes one of the cowherd boys would steal Krishna's lunch and begin throwing it around. They would play keep away with Krishna. And I'm just rubbing all the whole time. He said, and then finally the cowherd boys, they would throw their lunch to Krishna. And they would sit down with his lunch and they would eat puri, halava, kachuri, and ladu, like that. He said, and Krishna, he would sit with them and he would eat the rice and chapatis and sabji. He was smiling so brightly. And then he stopped and I'm still massaging. And then he said, I just want to go back to the spiritual world and eat kachuri and ladu with Krishna. And then he closed his eyes. He didn't say anything more. And I just kept massaging. So it was something, just a very rare experience, that I could see Prabhupada. He was just so much ecstasy. Seeing everyone becoming Krishna conscious all over the world. So then he continued on. I'll skip. He went to Dallas, New York, England, Tehran. And then he came here, Calcutta, and then Mayapur in time for Gaur Purnima. So it was a very interesting arrival. He went into his room, which was just finished in his quarters here in the Lotus Building. Jayapataka Maharaj was there, Bhavananda, Atreya Rishi from Iran, myself, a few other devotees. So Prabhupada came in and he was very happy. He saw his quarters, the breeze going through. And immediately Prabhupada said, so the devotees, they all are situated very nicely. They're all getting milk. Prabhupada always cared so much that we were taken care of, every one of us. And then Bhavananda said, yes, Prabhupada, everyone has a nice facility, nice place to stay. He said, Prabhupada, it's your mercy. Prabhupada said, no, no. He said, it's not my mercy. He said, it's the mercy of Bhaktivinod Thakur. And then again, Bhavananda said, Prabhupada, you've made such a nice place He said there's nice breezes, this nice veranda is there. Prabhupada said, I had some idea. He said, but Krishna, he provided all of the intelligence. So again, Prabhupada deflected these compliments as they were coming. Huh? So then, Prabhupada said, it is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, meaning his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then again, the devotee said, Prabhupada, it is all your mercy that we are here. And Prabhupada said, he said, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he predicted that someone would come who would spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. He said, perhaps I'm that person. He said, the only time Prabhupada ever said perhaps or maybe is when he would give us a little hint of who he was. Then he would say maybe. Like he said, perhaps my father knew. Because his father, he said, would do anything he wanted, his father would give him. So he said, perhaps my father knew. But that's all he would say. He wouldn't go into any detail. He wouldn't glorify himself. You just had to understand. So in this way, he said, perhaps I am that person. And as soon as he said it, he said, so have you planted banana trees here in Mayapur? He completely changed the subject. He wouldn't even allow us to discuss it. He started talking about planting banana trees and mating a Jersey cow with a Sarabi cow. He just went off into all these practical details that he wanted done here in Mayapur. So he wouldn't let us go. But we know, everyone knows, and we should tell everyone around the world that Srila Prabhupada is that person that Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted would bring people from all over the world. In 5 minutes, if you walk from one building to the next, you'll hear 20 different languages in the course of 5 minutes. So Prabhupada's that person who brought everyone here. And he's seeing Lord Chaitanya doing this. So Lord Chaitanya, he sent Srila Prabhupada here. Huh? We all know this. This is not difficult to understand. So then, the next day, Prabhupada goes into the temple room. And again, he sees Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda on the altar. And again, he began speaking about how merciful they are. And in the course of the lecture, again, Prabhupada went into ecstasy on the Vyasasan and just couldn't say another word. He just stopped. And there was complete silence. Hundreds of devotees, everyone from the West, 500 devotees, and 3 or 4 Bengali devotees, 3 or 4 devotees from Bombay. But everyone was from America, South America, Europe. He had brought them all here. So then, behind Prabhupada, there's a sannyasi. And Prabhupada is completely quiet. You could hear, as they say, a pin drop. No one's even chanting on their beads because their beads would make noise. This is how appreciative we were to be in that atmosphere of ecstasy. We all felt various degrees of ecstasy because it was flowing from Srila Prabhupada. But all of a sudden, this devotee, Nama Om Vishnu Padai, and he started a kirtan. And Prabhupada opened his eyes. So the kirtan went on. So then we had kirtan. So then after the kirtan, I'm going up to the room, up the stairs in the Prabhupada's quarters. Brahmananda was his secretary. And Prabhupada went inside. And Brahmananda Maharaj and myself, there was this big discussion outside with different sannyasis, GBC, temple presidents, about what had happened at the kirtan. So some devotees were saying, we should have just been quiet. What are we doing? Why did he start chanting? Prabhupada was in ecstasy. We should just be quiet. Then there was another group said, no, chanting Hare Krishna is always correct. We should chant Hare Krishna. That's okay. So that diversity was there. Different opinions coming from different devotees. So Brahmananda is the secretary. What else could we do? He said, well, I'll ask Prabhupada. So Brahmananda Maharaj and myself, we go in the Prabhupada's room and we offer obeisances. And here's Prabhupada. He's sitting on a cushion on the floor in his room in Mayapur, as he did everywhere in the world. He just sat on a cushion on the floor with a little desk in front of him. So he's just sitting there and he's chanting japa. And we come in and offer obeisances, and Prabhupada looks up. He hasn't called us, so he's like this and looking with inquisitive face. And I just sat beside it because I thought it was all rather funny. And Brahmananda's trying to think of what to say. And he's there, Prabhupada, he said, do you know this morning in the temple room, he said, you went into ecstasy. And Prabhupada's just looking at him. And he said, we're having a discussion. He said, and we're trying to understand, when you go into ecstasy on the Vyasasam, what should we do? And Prabhupada's looking at him, and he said, so humbly, he said, I don't do that very often, he said. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, this is really just bizarre, you know. And Brahmananda, he said, yes, Prabhupada, he said, like this morning when it happened, and he said, and that devotee was chanting Hare Krishna, he started kirtan and chanting. He said, so, and before he could say anything, Prabhupada said, it's not such an important thing, he said. He said, yes, but Prabhupada, if it happens, he said, what should we do? He said, should we just sit there? Or should we chant? And Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. He said, thank you, Prabhupada. So that was the conclusion. Of course, I was very much in favor of just sitting there, even if it meant we had to sit there for hours. It was just so wonderful seeing Prabhupada do that in our presence, expose himself in that way. It's something was so rare, such rare moments in being with Prabhupada. So as I said, this discussion was there, so many other discussions, but I'm going to have to stop so Maharaj can speak. But is what I wanted to offer was, that these differences, so much diversity. We spoke here, I know, about unity and diversity. So as many disciples as there are, as many GBC as there are, so many different ideas how to spread Krishna consciousness, how to relate to one another, how to do so many other things, how to care for each other. The one thing I see that gives us unity still to this day is Srila Prabhupada. We cannot be unified. Thank you. Amara said I can speak until 10:30. It is Prabhupada that unifies us. It's always Prabhupada that unifies us. As I said, when soon as you go into the temple room, we offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada on the Vyasasan. And then we greet the deities. We offer our obeisances again to Srila Prabhupada on the altar. So he's there for all of us. He's not exclusive. This is his society. He's the founder Acharya. And he has so many disciples he's empowered to give initiation, to increase the generations. But we all have the ability to taste the nectar, that comes from Srila Prabhupada's lotus mouth. Huh? When I became his servant, thank you, Maharaj, again. Every day I would go into Prabhupada's room so many times, every day. And from the beginning, sometimes I would go in Prabhupada's room and he would be reading his books. And he would read his books and you would get the same sensation as if we were reading his books. He didn't have a pen or a paper. He wasn't editing them to see if this is right, that was right. He was relishing these books. So one day I went in. I had been his servant for just a month. 1972, I was 21 years old. And he was reading Bhagavad Gita. At this time, there was only a half a dozen books. First canto was there, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna book. Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And Prabhupada was reading Bhagavad Gita. And he rang his bell, so I went in. And I offered obeisances and sat up. And he's holding his book, Bhagavad Gita. He has his reading glasses on. And he just looks at me. And I'm, yes, Prabhupada. And he said, if you just read this one book, he said, you can become Krishna conscious. I'm going, yes, Prabhupada. He said, you don't have to read so many books, hundreds of books. He said, this book is so nice, this Bhagavad Gita, as it is so nice. He said, if you just read this one book and understand, you can become Krishna conscious. Going, yes, Prabhupada. He said, you don't have to read so many books. And then he put his head down and he just continued reading Bhagavad Gita. That was it. He was finished. That's why he called me in. And it was so, when I was with Prabhupada, most of the time, he would talk to me. I never felt like he was talking to me. I just thought he was speaking. I don't know why, because he was always talking to me, because I was right there and he was talking to me very personally. But because I was very foolish, didn't understand, I didn't get that, but I felt like, almost like he was on the Vyasasan giving a class. That's how I felt many times, that he was giving a lecture and he was just talking about Krishna consciousness. Not that he was directing it to me, but of course he was. So anyway, I offered obeisances and left. So several months go by. One afternoon, Prabhupada's in Los Angeles, and he rings the bell. So I run into the room, and I offer obeisances, and I sit up. And he's sitting behind his desk, and he's reading Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, translated commentary by Srila Prabhupada. And he's reading it, his book. Prabhupada's reading his books. Everything he told us to do, that's what he was doing. He was reading his own books. So I came in, and he just looked at me. And he said, this Nectar of Devotion is so nice. He said, if you just read this one book, you can become Krishna conscious. And I'm speechless. I'm just nodding my head, not even saying, he said, this book is so nice. Prabhupada's reading it. He's relishing this book like I don't understand at all to this day. And he said, you don't have to read any other books. Just read this book, he said. He knew I wasn't reading. So he kept trying to get me to read something, you know. He said, just this book, he said, if you read it, he said, you can be Krishna conscious. He said, it's so wonderful, this book. He said, everything is in here. Just read this one book. He kept saying, you don't have to read anything else, just this book. I'm going, yes, Prabhupada. And then he put his head down. And then I could understand, okay, now I should go. So I offered obeisances and I left. so another year goes by. Prabhupada's reading every day, every other day. He's translating every day, every morning. He's reading every day, doing bhajans in his room, playing harmonium. He's a devotee, Krishna's very dear devotee and friend. So another year goes by. I've been with Prabhupada over 2 years. And he rings his bell. And I go in and I offer obeisances. And he has his reading glasses on. And he's reading Krishna book. And he looked up at me. And everyone knows what he said. This book is so nice. He said, if you just read this book, you'll be Krishna conscious. Just by reading this one book. He said, you don't have to read so many books, dozens and dozens of books, he said, hundreds of books. Just this book, he said, this Krishna book is so wonderful. He said, if you just read it and try to understand, he said, you'll become Krishna conscious. I said, yes, Prabhupada. And again, he said, you don't have to read so many books. He said, just this book, he's showing me. Just me, I'm sitting 3 feet in front of him, and he's just giving me this opportunity. He said, you don't have to read any other book. He said, just read this one book. And he kept looking at me. He didn't put his eyes down. He just kept looking at me, and I'm going, yes, Prabhupada. And he said, you don't even have to read the whole book. He said, just one chapter. He said, if you just read one chapter of this book, you can become Krishna conscious. I said, yes, Prabhupada. I didn't know what to do. But he kept looking at me. He didn't put his head down like these two other times in the last 2 years. He kept looking at me. And he looked up. He said, you don't even have to read a whole chapter. And he said, just one page. And he put his hand up and down, his finger up and down. He said, just one page. If you just read one page, he said, you can become Krishna conscious. I said, yes, Prabhupada. And he's looking at me. He didn't take his eyes. And he kept looking. And he said, you don't even have to read the whole page. He said, just one line. He said, just one line of this book. He said, if you read it, you can be Krishna conscious. He said, you don't even have to read the whole line. He said, just one word. He said, if you pick up this book and read just one word, you can be Krishna conscious. He said, because Krishna is in every word. Harivo. So then he put his eyes down and he continued reading. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Imagine, he's given us this book, Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, all of Srimad Bhagavatam, all of Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many books he's given us to read. This is Srila Prabhupada's legacy. This is where Srila Prabhupada lives for all of us. We all have this ability, just like I was sitting there. This is what Prabhupada wants from every one of us. Sit down, read these books very carefully, and you can become Krishna conscious. And if you can't read all of them, just pick one book and sit down with it and become Krishna conscious. In an airplane, he was reading his Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he turned to Prajumna and I. He said, who reads their own books? Who do you know reads their own books? And we're going... He said, no one reads their own books. He says, when an author makes a book, he puts it down. He said, he reads other people's books. He says, he doesn't read his book once it's finished. He said, but here I am reading this Bhagavad Gita as it is. He said, why? He said, on the airplane, going to the next temple. And we looked. He said, because these are not my words. He said, they're Krishna's words. So this is Srila Prabhupada. Everything he gave us, it's just coming from Krishna directly in his books. So I want to thank everyone giving me the opportunity to speak. I want to thank Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, all of my God brothers, God sisters, all of the assembled devotees, to be able to come here in Mayapur. This is the first class I've ever given in Sridham Mayapur, so I was so happy that it could happen today. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
So next we have Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. Hare Krishna.